Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here with you. And just want to say thank you for inviting me. And really do feel privileged. I was sitting watching the PowerPoint thinking, man, I want to join this church. This is what an amazing church you are. And I think that's true, actually. I've kind of, obviously, as I've been preparing for today, I've gone on your website and had a look at things and done other things. And man, there's some really great stuff happening here. And I just want to say to you, listen, you are doing a good job. Well done. You know, keep going. It's really encouraging to see what God is doing here amongst you. Thank you also to Alistair for the introduction. We went to Uganda together with Tear Fund. I don't know. Do you know that your senior pastor is an amazingly competitive guy? Did you know that? We did some quizzes while we were away, and I just want you to know that Alistair's team never lost, and I'm not saying that he cheated, but all I'm saying is that they never lost, and we'll just leave it at that, okay? So that's quite a competitive guy that you've got there, so that's good. So it's been great to be here and great to get to know you guys, and again, thank you so much for inviting me. I want us to spend some time in the Word just now, so if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Isaiah 43, and we're going to read together from verse 14 through to verse 21. Isaiah 43, reading from verse 14. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send you to Babylon and bring down as captives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the seas, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praises. It's an interesting word, isn't it, to bring to an anniversary meeting, to say, forget the former things. See, I am doing a new thing. I believe that today, here in Scotland, we are at a pivotal point in the life of the church in Scotland. I believe that in the next 10 or so years, we are going to see some seismic change of the same kind of scale, I suppose, as perhaps has not been seen in Scotland since the Reformation. And that is so significant for us because God, I believe, is saying to us, look, see, I am doing a new thing. And when God spoke through Isaiah to the people all those years ago, he did so because he wanted the people to know that the changes that were about to happen to them, which would seem so dramatic, so completely, profoundly different from that which was before, that actually he wanted them to know that there was a pathway of hope that he was leading them on. That the things that were happening were not happening by accident, but happening by God's design. And God continues to want that word of hope to fill our hearts as we face what I believe will be, as I say, some of the greatest and most challenging things that we're going to see over the next 10 to 15 years. The Lord is saying to us, see, I am doing a new thing. The church in Scotland, as I say, is, I think, facing the most significant period of change that it will ever face. We are not continuing with the business as usual model. And it's so important for us to hear that message clearly before the changes happen. Because God wants to say to us, I am doing a new thing. And he wants us to see that there is a pathway for us to step into that. And indeed, not just step into it, but I believe for you to take a lead in stepping into these new things. And we know that we are no longer a Christian nation. If that is news to you, then I'm sorry, but it's true. I think that everyone can see that. I think that that's where all the stuff that we're getting in terms of kind of gay marriage is coming through, and, you know, euthanasia will come to, and so on. And it's important for us as a church to speak prophetically to the nation and to say to them that this is not the best way, this is not God's way. But I think that we need to recognize that actually for many of these causes, we will only be a prophetic voice to the nation rather than one which will truly see these laws changed in the favor of what is biblical teaching. Do you know the thing that's going to make the biggest difference? Do you know what's going to actually kind of make the impact in terms of changing the laws of our nation? Seeing a million people come to faith in Christ in Scotland. That's actually what will change the laws, not necessarily the campaigns and all the rest, which I am part of. I want to be part of. It's important to be part of. But I want us to recognize that actually there is something happening, something shifting, something changing in our nation today. We're no longer a Christian nation. Tear Fund have just produced some research about attendance, and it won't come as any surprise to you that we're talking about 9% of the population in Scotland, roughly speaking, attending. But what they've done is they've broken it down and they've actually said, who's attending and what category of believer are you talking about? And the answer is about 39% are Roman Catholics, 30% are described as traditional, which means that they go to church but they wouldn't want to share their faith. 10% are radically liberal, meaning that they undermine, I believe, the biblical truths, leaving 21% of the population of who attend church as evangelicals. 21% of 520,000 people. That means that, statistically speaking, in Stirling you have about 45,000 folk, and that means that roughly speaking there's about 4,500 folks in church, of which about 900 will be evangelicals. Now let's just pause for a moment and consider the fact that you're a church of about 600 when you're all gathered together. And just think about what that means for the rest of the church in Stirling. One of the greatest difficulties, I think, that actually hearing this message will be for you as clearly the strongest church in your place, in your city here, is that actually it's very difficult when a church is well, healthy and going well, to be able to hear that actually God is saying, here is a new thing coming. Are you ready? Because actually, it's easy for us to continue to crank the wheel and make church work. But God is saying, see, I am doing a new thing. Do you know what the statistics actually have proven from Tear Fund? There's a definition that the Lausanne Conference gave to an unreached people group. It's where the population has less than 2% evangelical believers. The statistics now are that in Scotland, evangelical believers represent 1.98% of the population. We, Scotland, have become an unreached people group. And God says into that, see, I am doing a new thing. There is a huge shift about to happen. Are you ready for it? There's a huge paradigm shift which is about to happen, moving us from a settled, established, gathered church to an emerging, pioneering, dispersed pattern of church. The time where we stay still, where we gather our own folks, where we do our own children's and youth work for ourselves and for our own kids is over. When we simply put the resources into looking after the church as a community of faith, that is coming to an end. And you are already leading the churches in helping us to see new patterns of ways of doing that. God is doing a new thing amongst us. We're moving from the day where pastor teachers have led the church to a place where actually the rest of the fivefold ministries of people with gifts of apostolic and prophetic and evangelism are actually beginning to come up to the surface again. Why? Because the day is different. The day of a settled church that needs a pastor teacher to look and nurture the folks is there, but it is passing. And now we need people who are pioneers, entrepreneurs, those who see what cannot be seen in the spirit. It cannot be seen in the physical, but can see in the spirit. There is a change happening, and God is saying, can you see I am doing a new thing? I want to say to you today that actually that there are some significant keys that God wants to give to us as we step into the new things that he would like to do. And the first of these is, I believe, that it's important that we step into courageous risk-taking for the kingdom of God. I love football. It's a bit like a confession, you know, my name's Alan and I'm a football supporter. I actually should say, my name is Alan and I'm a Rangers supporter. You know, it's like, you know, it is like going to the, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous or Football Supporters Anonymous. You know, my name is Alan and I'm a Rangers supporter. And I just want to say thank you to both East Stirlingshire and also to Stirling Albion. You know, you welcomed us like friends, and, you know, we appreciate the fact that you're willing to do that. And it is absolutely fantastic. It really is. And we're really looking forward to going to Arbroath next year. And where's the other place? I don't know. Somewhere else. Stranraer. I think we're getting to go to Stranraer. It's like a kind of fun mystery tour for us, to be honest. We get on the buses and they take us to places that we've never been before. It's a lovely experience, and we're enjoying it. And it is an interesting experience. Anyway, the reason for me talking about that is because of the fact that actually, as we think about courageous risk-taking, what we actually need to be thinking about are things like, how do we reach the 350,000 predominantly men, not all men, but predominantly men, predominantly younger men, who go every week to the football? 350,000 of them. Estimated that probably less than 1 in 1,000 of them are actually Christians. You know, there's a huge, huge mission field there. And what will it require of us that we would take some risks, that we would actually say, you know, we're going to do something different. We're going to actually spend some time in doing things which haven't been done, going places that haven't been gone. And why? Because we're confident that actually the message that we have, the message of the gospel of Christ Jesus, is going to bring them life. It is going to bring them into a new day. We need to be courageous, though. We need to start. Listen, I started going. If you've never been on an away bus going to the football, then you need a degree of courage to get onto it in the first place. I travelled. I've never done this until a few years ago, and I joined Mount Florida True Blues. I make no apology for the fact I'm a Rangers fan, by the way, because obviously we are going to come back again, and we're going to be glorious. But traveling on the Mount Florida True Blues bus was quite an experience. I had never been on anything like it. I got on this bus and I didn't know anyone, so I went and sat down and hoped that, you know, they were just going to get off with it. And they started the bus and it got to the first set of traffic lights and they put the brake on and it chinked like a brewer's lorry. Now, it's not supposed to, and they weren't supposed to have anything on the bus, but anyway, it did, I can assure you. And all that time, I was there because I thought, God's put me in amongst these guys, and I want to actually work out, how do I reach them? He'd said to me a few years ago, they're like sheep without a shepherd, go. And I thought, that sounds good to me. I get to go to the football as part of the call of God in my life. You might think I'm delusional by now, but that's. But anyway, I got on this bus and we started off and it was fine. Nobody talked to me, but it was fine until we were going up to Dundee, and we got to Dundee just as they entered Dundee, they put on this tape, and it was kind of like a weird country and western sort of ding 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 ding. Anyway, and then this girl in Northern Irish accent sang something, I don't know what it was, but it was just a song, and then about sort of like, they obviously got to the chorus, and the chorus was UVF, at which point the whole bus erupted and shouted UVF, UVF. And I sat there and I thought, oh God, what have I got myself into? Oh my goodness, that's a disaster. I don't want to be in any way associated with this. And yet, these men and women are loved by God. They are the ones that Jesus died for. And we are nowhere near them. They would never come to my church. They would never touch it. They just wouldn't go anywhere near it. It's so far from them. We need to be courageous and go to them. We need to take risks and go to where the lost are, wherever they are. Even if that means that we go to places we've never been before and do things that we've never done before. We need courageous risk. But we need creativity released as well. In our parish in White Inch, the community psychiatric nurse was speaking to me recently, and he was saying to me that 10% of our population, it's about 4,500 people live in White Inch, 10% of our population are currently on some sort of medication for mental health issues. So it'll be depression, but there are other issues as well. He then said that 10% have been on medication in the last 6 to 12 months. And he said, and in addition to that, in the last 3 years, a further 10% will have been on medication. 30% of our population in White Inch are struggling with depression or issues around mental health. You know, Jesus wants to touch and to heal and to restore these beautiful, wonderful people. And I think we're going to have creativity to be able to work out how to do that. What is the kingdom of God going to look like for what is effectively, you know, that's probably a person in each household near enough that's having to deal with these kind of significant issues. And so we have been thinking locally. We do healing rooms, and we do sozo ministry, and we do all sorts of other counselling and so on. And we also have medics as part of our church, and physios and OTs and all sorts of things. And recently there's been a conversation about, could we open a health centre in White Inch, which actually has all of these things all together. We believe in medicine. We know that that's part of God's gift to us. But we also believe in healing. And so we're beginning to ask, could we open a health center that would actually connect with these folks and have a strong emphasis on helping people with mental health issues in particular? Could we do that? What would that look like? And we're beginning to engage with that. We're not necessarily there yet, but I've met other people. I met someone recently in Manchester who had done exactly that, and who are now delivering medical services as part of the NHS, but with a clear Christian ethos. Very interesting. Why? Because to reach the people who are out there, we need to be creative. And we need to say to the body of Christ, you know, be released to do the things that God has placed on your heart. Now, I never came up with the idea of, could we do a health service, open up a practice in our area. That wasn't me. That was actually one of our doctors that said to me, you know, we really need to do something much more proactive about this. How would it be if... And I said, great, go for it. And I want to say that to you, that actually there are people in this room who have got kingdom ideas which will release the kingdom of God in a whole variety of ways. We need, as we see the new thing coming about, to recognize that that involves us actually having a whole gospel for the whole of our society. It's not just about people coming to faith in Jesus. That is our ultimate goal. But it is about saying that we bring a message which will bring transformation in every area of society. I want to talk about health. I want to talk about education. I want to talk about housing. I want to talk about politics. I want to talk about media. I want to talk about every area of society. I want to talk about business. In each of these areas, we need to release the creativity of the body of Christ if we're going to see the new thing come to pass. And the last thing that I want to say is, so it's about courageous risk-taking, it's about releasing creativity, but the last thing I want to say is this. I want to say that it's actually about us being full of compassion and flowing out with the love of God in all sorts of different ways, in particular to the lost, the last, and the least. I love what you guys are doing in the Family Centre and all the stuff that you're doing just to pour out your love to the folks that live in this place. I think that that is phenomenal. And we're doing, you know, we're stepping into some of that stuff too. We've just launched a food bank. We've just launched a CAP Centre. And I think that actually as we move forward, I think that what this new thing will be in, will have as its motif, as its characteristic, is the grace of God. The undeserved, unmerited love of God poured out. And I'm just excited about that. And I'm excited about that idea because I think that's what happened to me. I'm here not as anything other than someone who has been overwhelmed by the love of God. I'm here because actually this, what I say to you, is the overflow. It's the outpour. It's the he's poured in so much that it's just coming out now. It's that that we want to see happen in a whole variety of ways. And in particular with the aliens, with the widows, with the orphans, to use the biblical language, which means those who don't belong here, those who are lonely, those who are fatherless. You know, that's what we're doing. We're stepping out in these things. And I suppose what I want to say to you today is, yes, man, we are about to see seismic change. What you didn't hear in terms of the demographics and the tier fund information was that the average age of the church is around 60. 60. That's the average age of the members of the church, which bless us. You know, we love what the folks who have gone before us have done. But the reality is that 10, 15 years from now, we are facing, as a church across the nation, what would be described as a demographic cliff. You know, we're going to get to a certain point and it's going to go woof and disappear. And we're going to see hundreds of churches around Scotland closed. We know that there's all of that stuff coming. But God says to us, see, I am doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it yet? You are a congregation, or congregations, I should say, who are full of courage to take risks. I know you are, because I've seen what you do. I just want to cheer you on and say, there's further to go. Take a lead within the nation. It's so important that you do that and see your place, not just simply in terms of what happens in this particular place, but within the nation. It's so important for you to be able to be released in your creativity. There is already so many signs of that, but there needs to be more. We need to actually really take seriously this thing of what does the whole gospel for the whole of our society mean? So that we're not just boxing ourselves into the spiritual activity, the religious activity, but we say the gospel of Jesus Christ has something to say to every part of society. I want to encourage you, be released in your creativity. But be full and overflowing with the compassionate grace of God. That beyond anything else needs to be the motif. It needs to be the touch. It needs to be the smell. It needs to be the flavor of what is coming next. And again, God is already doing that amongst you. So I encourage you, let's leave behind the past. Let's not be fearful of the change that's coming. Let's not live in a bubble of, well, actually, we're doing okay. But instead, let's take the strength that is here. Let's take the great foundations that have been laid. And let's press forward into the fullness of what it is that God has for you. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, I praise you for all that you have done in this place over the years. We thank you for the faithfulness of the giants in faith who have laid foundations which allow this fellowship, this part of the body of Christ, to be able to go on and do amazing things for you, more than they already are. And I pray for them now, Lord God, that you would strengthen their hands and strengthen their inner resolve, Lord, that they would press forward, that they would say, we will not think just in this small place, but we will press out and press out and press out, because the kingdom of God is doing a new thing in this time and in this place. So, Father, bless them, I pray. Release the resources of heaven, I ask. Bring workers, I pray. And I ask, Father, for the favor of God to be upon them, to be upon Alistair and their leaders. I pray, Father, that there'd be an increased sense of your hand just being upon them, that when they speak with authority, that when they see, they can do what they see. They can create strategies which release kingdom life in every area of this place and beyond. Lord, would you do this, we pray. For we're asking it in Jesus' name. Amen.